We're in the Gospel of Mark. We're down to verse 31 of chapter 10. In the last lesson, Jesus finished up with the apostles wanted to know, because they've forsaken all and followed the Lord. They were normal people. What are we going to get? What's going to be our reward? They were sort of asking. And he told them, New scripture's been so perverted by the prosperity materialistic people. In 30, he said, you'll receive 100-fold or times here. It means in this present life. And houses and brothers, sisters, mothers, children, farms. And at the end of the new age, eternal life. People use that to think God wants them wealthy and healthy. And they can have many homes like some of these mega ministers. It simply meant in the kingdom now, the church kingdom, when you ministers, disciples go throughout to minister, there's going to be Christians invite you into their home and give hospitality and helps. He wasn't talking about them owning anything themselves. See, people read scripture the way they want to read it. They don't want the truth. They twist the scripture as Peter said they did Paul's writings and all scripture to their own destruction. That's the danger when you take verses out of context. You don't read what's before and what's after, so you can sort of make the scripture say anything you want to. But this was a good popular one with the prosperity and faith people. But it don't mean God's going to make them all wealthy, healthy, and they're king's kids here. Those are false teachings that are going to lead people to hell, because much of the prosperity teaching is materialism and greed and present wealth and living happy here in this world. And Jesus warned against that. He said, you find your life, you're going to lose it eternally. Where is self-denial? Where is taking up the cross? These people that want to be prospered and have lots of money, they read the scripture, Paul's writing, when God gives certain people, he's able to multiply what they give. But if you read the whole context, it's for liberality to other Christian. He didn't say nothing about building 6 homes and having airplanes. And this is nothing but covetousness. And Paul warned, he said, now, you know, a covetous person is an idolatra, and you know no idolatra will enter heaven. So people get caught up here even. The 6 or 7 times Paul speaks about money and having money, he gives a warning. And not any place does he encourage people to seek it, materialistic wealth. And one of two places said, but if you are there, so there may be some, he says, be rich in good works, implying if you're not, you may not make it to heaven. So he's telling people, don't set your mind on spiritual things. Be content with your lot. He said, basically, having food and raiment, be content. Well, I don't find many professing Christians living that. They're always, because they're caught up in the world. And they will not make it to the next world. Jesus called it a covetousness, idolatry, materialistic, loving the world. John said, if you love the world and the world system, the love of the Father is not in you. That implies Christ is not in that person. So a lot of the politics and systems that we have of capitalism and it's in different forms and other, that's of the worldly kingdom. God has not promised that to everybody. He said, be content with what you have. We have to let him regulate our lot. And Proverbs warns, don't trust in your money and riches because it can fly away. And people who are caught up in it, when they don't keep prospering, they think they've done something wrong. They haven't. It's God testing them, and God don't want most Christians rich. It'll send them to hell. That's what Paul said. He said, if you desire to be rich, he's talking to Christian, fall into many hurtful lusts drown men in hell or damnation. That's why I warn godliness with contentment. Be satisfied with God changing your lot. And if he don't go there. Because anything outside the Lord's will is idolatry. So that's what he talked about. You will gain houses and sisters and brothers. It's the Christian body of Christ he was talking about. And then eternal life. But he also, after that, put in the word along with persecutions. So if people do not suffer for the gospel, they got the wrong gospel. We suffer for the gospel, not because people beat us, or which they do in some places. When we deny the flesh, we deny the world, and we follow the Lord, we get rewarded for that. We have to cause sometimes the old man to put him down. We have to be careful of what he incites us for. He wants to find his own life. And the Lord said, and if you do, you'll lose it. So the 2 billion people that claim to be Christians in the world, 99% of them are not. And at judgment, when the Lord returns, he said he's going to say to them, you're wicked. And they said, but Lord, they recognize him as rising from the dead and being Lord. We did many wonderful things in your name. So we've got religious groups and churches, people that are dedicated. And they do things, but their heart ain't right. And they'll talk about, we did this in your name. But he cuts them off. He don't even answer that. He says, you're workers of lawlessness. You didn't do the will of my Father. And then he said, he cast them into outer darkness. And he said something interesting. I never knew you. Most of the 2 billion Christians in the world were never Christians and never were. But they had tradition and religion. And they were raised in that from generation. And they give a little service and duty to whatever denomination, but they're living their own life. And hoping God will rubber stamp it. That's called finding your life. They're not doing the will of the Father. A person does not obey Christ, his word, and is led of his spirit is not a Christian. It doesn't matter what kind of experiences they had in the past. They forfeit this. Many will begin in Christianity and they get caught up in the world, or they don't mature. And so when trials and temptations come, they fall away since they have no root in them. They were saved, some of them, but they didn't continue with the Lord, and he warned them, count the cost. When the gospel's given today, it's all just confess Jesus and believe, and you don't have to worry about nothing. There's no such teaching in Scripture. Jesus warned people, you count the cost. If you can't put me before anything else, you have no business being a Christian. But he gives us the power and aid of his spirit to do his will. We cannot serve him in the flesh and on our own terms. We don't have that ability. So that's what he talked about. And then in verse 31, he said, but there are many who are first who will be last. And the last that will be first. Then, right then, the one point there was he was telling the disciples, they would be first spiritually. The people who were running a Jewish system, the Sadducees and Pharisees, and basically they were hypocrites and false to God. But they were the main ones in society. They're the ones that had the power and money and everything. And the true Christian, most of them didn't have much, or they live day to day with the Lord. But he said, spiritually, they're going to be there first now with God. But then there's other points. So we look at a few different points as to this first and last. As a whole, Paul said, look at your Christian calling. God normally calls what? When the Corinthians, some of them that had a little money, and they didn't want to fellowship much and have love feasts with the poor Christians. As I've said often, 25% of the Christians at Paul's time were slaves. They didn't have nothing. They were owned, okay? So some of the rich Corinthians didn't want to associate with them. That's why many of them got sick and died. God judged them that they would get right so they wouldn't be damned with the world. But normally Paul said, you shouldn't do this. He said, don't you know God has chosen the poor of this world who are rich in faith? That's the basic. The poor, the common person is who the Lord's after. He will accept the rich and wealthy, but see, they have to give up a lot to serve the Lord. Like the rich young ruler, he couldn't do it. He owned too much. He had too much. Okay? So normally he calls the lowly, the day-to-day people, to be Christians and disciples, and they're more useful for the kingdom. They are first a hearer to God, and hereafter in God's judgment, they'll have greater rewards. The Jewish leaders, the Sadducees, that was the priestly family, the Pharisees and the scribes were more like lawyers, were mostly evil in God's eyes and what he saw. They were basically hypocrites. They were false, and yet they professed to represent God to the people. So that's why their judgment's going to be greater. Sadducees, in English, we say Sadducees. The first three letters are sad. They were a sad bunch of people. They were supposed to be the supreme spiritual people. The priestly family, the priest, was supposed to set an example and uphold the law and teach the people properly. And they were the worst of the lot. They were worse than the Pharisees and the scribes. They were deists, humanitarian type people that didn't believe in God, really. You're thinking, these are priests. Well, 100 years before Christ, they became into their power, and they didn't believe in the afterlife. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. They didn't believe in angels or demons, and they didn't believe in the resurrection. And these were supposed to be the supreme spiritual people representing Jehovah. You can see why their punishment is going to be so great. That's why they could be thieves and everything. They were not going to be called into account. The Sadducees were normally rich. The people as a whole, they gave their tithe and it went to the Levites, the priestly family, but the Levites tithe to the priest. So they made lots of money. And they didn't like a lot of things Jesus did, and they followed him and everything. But it was when he kicked the tables over in the temple when they were selling doves. What they were doing, that was the least sacrifice that the poor could afford, was a pigeon or a dove. But you had to exchange it for temple money, and they extorted the poor. People outside, they shepherds and others could not sell to the people directly. It had to be approved by the priest. And so they made money off of extorting people and shepherd. That's why Jesus called them such hypocrite. And so when he kicked the tables over, they were the money changers. They were making a lot of money on this. And he said, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. Well, that's what they had done. It was after he kicked the tables over that the high priest and all of them decided it's time to kill Jesus. When you affect people's money, they don't like that. That was more important to them than anything else. So they were false, and yet they professed to be religious and speak for God or Jehovah. They were not. They were false religious leaders who misrepresented God and his covenant. So the first and earthly order at that time, they were rich and powerful. And they were rich and powerful Jews. But look in 1 Corinthians. We've been there many times. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you look at your Christian calling. This is verse 26 is what he means. You Christian, look at your Christian calling. Look who God calls. See, we're called and chosen and to be faithful. No man can come to God lest the Spirit of the Lord draw him. But God extends grace to everyone. Nature, his conscience, Even before they get the gospel, he extends certain grace and he holds people accountable for the light they've been given, the truth. But look at your Christian calling. There are not many wise. There are not many mighty. There are not many noble. And part of that is that they became rich. So he was saying, God doesn't choose them. And the reason is, he said, what? 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. He doesn't need anything they have. God owns everything. If he wants something, he can take it. It belongs to him. So they use religion. But he says, basically, Christians are called from the common people, the lowly people, people who are not famous, people who are not political people, rich people, movie stars, famous and wealthy. There are not many, he said. It's good he didn't say there are not any. So with God, Jesus said all things are possible. If they submit to God, he can control it, and it doesn't control them because they understand they're stewards of what God has given them, and one day they'll answer for how they dealt with God's money, okay? So, as Proverbs says, money answers all things, and that's true. So people want power, money, and fame. They can rule in this world, okay? But the common people, often in the world, they're weak. They're called base, despised. That's in the view of the world, but not in God's eye. The mighty ones rob God's people. They rob God of his honor and glory. So you saw the priests wanting to be honored among themselves. The Pharisees would lie to the people and put on hypocritical fronts because they wanted to be seen and admired by the people. And he called them hypocrites. They will be resurrected to the damned, and they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And Jesus warned them of that. I don't get back on that right now too often, but in Mark alone, six times or so, Jesus says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be outer darkness. He didn't mince no words. Out of the 39 and 40 parables, 25% of them have to do with God's judgment on people and what he's going to do to them for their wicked. And this is Christ talking. And he'd taken on the human nature. But it was the Son of God with the Father who created the world and created the lake of fire or hell for the devils to fall. But man became wicked. They'll go into the same place. Man is not annihilated. We'll talk about that a little later. Another point, the Jewish leaders in the past and then, they had the covenants and special standing. That's why Jesus told the common people, when the priests and the Pharisees teach the law, obey them, for they sit in Moses' seat, but don't live like them. Why? Because they were hypocrites. But he was saying, if they pronounce the word of God, listen to what they're saying. Nowadays, it's not wise to listen to false shepherds. False shepherds and teachers, they'll teach some truth. Just to throw one lie in, it'll damn your soul. I don't listen to false teachers. I don't care what good things they say. If they're basically off, you don't need to be around them. He said, my sheep will not follow strangers. You listen to a false shepherd enough, and you take some of the good he says, which he will, that spirit he's under will try to seduce you. And then eventually you'll start believing the other things he says. That's the danger of listening to a false teacher that even knows some truth. It's the death in a pot. You make a pot of stew. Everything's wonderful. But you put one little piece of poisonous mushroom, you'll kill everybody. It nullifies the truth to the person. So we have to be careful not to listen to false teachers and shepherds, even when they give a good sermon. See, once in a while, they can teach something. Backsliders, I've known backslid ministers, they can still teach. And some of them, they don't teach falseness. It's just their life is false. They're living in adultery. They're lying, But when they preach and teach, they know the word of God because it once was imparted to them. But there's danger there. And the Lord will separate at the proper time. So the Jewish leaders, they had God's covenants and special standing above the nations. They were a special holy people. He wanted them to be different and be a light to the Gentiles. They'll be able to see that they weren't wicked and perverse and immoral like all the nations. That's why he expected such holiness of them, not only for their own sake, but to represent him. Okay. Instead, they despised and hated the Gentile nations, calling them dogs, unclean. Well, they were unclean ceremonially, and they had to separate themselves, but they weren't told to persecute them and abuse them. They were supposed to be a light by the way they lived. And that's why some Gentiles became proselytes and turned to Judaism, so they could receive them. But as a whole, the Jewish leaders, Sadducees, Pharisees, they hated the Gentiles. And even the scribes, they looked at the common Jewish people. They said they're cursed because they don't know the law. They thought they were special. They were king's kids, and nobody else could measure up to them. And they made 600 and some rules and regulations when Moses only gave about 50. And everywhere they went, you had to wash your hands a certain way and do this and that and burden the people. Jesus told them, you're a hypocrite. But he said, inwardly, you're dead men's bones. You're hypocrites. And by yourself, you don't keep your own rules. But when you're outside, you want people to think you're special. Well, you're special. Vessels of wrath eventually made for God to destroy them. Okay. So we'll see then they despise the Gentile nations, calling them dogs. And from the resurrection of Jesus to the death of John near the end of the century, almost 70 years, the Jews as a whole, they rejected his covenant, he rejected them. And he put the new covenant, the church covenant. But you'll find out that after Paul's dead, and after the first generation, you don't find any place where Gentile Christians, where church goes and makes a special ministry to Jews. Today they say the fellowship of the Jews and Christians, there is no fellowship. If they reject Christ, they're children of the devil and we have no accord with them. So these are lying ministries that are just as false and bad as any other nation that doesn't serve the Lord. They are not a special people now. They're under God's judgment. We are the true Jew. They're coming together, but he's not breathing to them. And they'll be saved as a nation when the Antichrist decides to turn on them and break a treaty. But it's believed he'll kill millions of them. There'll probably only be a few hundred thousand left when the Lord returns. And they'll turn to the Lord then. And the Lord will usher in the thousand-year millennium when he destroys the Antichrist and the worldly armies. But they're not a special people now. They're in rebellion. And wherever they go, Ezekiel said, God said, I'll send the hunters and fishermen to persecute them because they were given more truth and they refused to submit to the Lord and the Christ. So don't let no one tell you they're special people. They're not special unless they're Christians and come to the Lord. Otherwise, they're enemies just to God and the gospel as any other people or nation that does not submit to the lordship of Christ. Don't be taken in by these foolish teachers that don't know the scripture very well. Okay. So the church was basically given to the Gentiles. 100 years after Pentecost, you didn't find Jews as a whole, very few coming to the Lord. God was dealing with the Gentiles, and he'll do it until his second coming, okay? So the church now, for almost 2,000 years, whatever's true of the church, like I say, most of Christendom is false Christianity. But those that are true is mainly made up of Gentiles, and they're in the new covenant with Christ, okay? Look at this. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Jesus was teaching and healing, and he expected more from the people, and he didn't often get it. They didn't have the, even his own apostles he had to rebuke. But a centurion, a Gentile soldier in authority, he sent a message to that Jesus would heal his servant. And Jesus started to go there. But see, the Gentile, he was smart enough to know that normally a Jew would not go into a Gentile's house. It was forbidden. But Jesus probably would have done it. But the messenger told him, he said, you don't have to come to my house. You just speak the word. And what did Jesus say of him? He said, among the Jews, he had not found such great faith. He said, great faith than the children of Israel. He expected a lot out of the Jews because they had the covenants, and he didn't get it. And yet a Gentile exercised more faith than most Jews did. He admired this, and he spoke the word, and that person was healed. But then he said immediately afterwards, in verse 11, I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Well, they're the basic patriarchs that instituted Judaism, the old covenant. And God blessed the Jews by faith and the Gentiles through Abraham's obedience. He told him what he was going to do. He was going to go to all the nations eventually through his gospel. But he said, look in verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom, he's talking about the Jewish people that were given the covenants, the everyday Jew, will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying most of the Jews, and even at his time, would live and die and be cast into hell because they were false to God. They didn't keep his covenants. They persecuted his followers when he instituted the new covenant. When he judges the nations, it's by how they dealt with Christians. They helped them. He'll remember certain things. They don't. And they'll say, well, we didn't know it was you. He said, whatever you did to the least of my disciples, you did to me. And most of them will fail the judgment. That's the basic judgment. Then they will be held accountable for their own sins and wickedness and not turning to the Lord. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means torment and hopelessness and hellfire. But death and hell eventually will be cast into the lake of fire. It's the final second death. No one's in the lake of fire yet. The first ones to be cast in will be the false prophet and the Antichrist. But eventually, when the final judgment comes for all mankind, those in hell will be cast into the lake. It's more permanent. It may be more judgmental. We need to see that. He warns. People don't like to talk about it. Jesus talked about it often because he said, the way is narrow and difficult, and few there be that find it. They don't find it because they're not searching. They don't look to God. They've given a certain amount of grace. They don't obey their conscience. They live for themselves. They have the ability to turn to the Lord, and he helps them, but they choose not to. Men love darkness as a whole. It's part of their corrupt nature, but they're not fixed. They can change their will. They can exercise amount of obedience and the truth that they have. So as most people love wickedness and won't come to the truth, he said there are those who come to the truth, that they will be reproved and corrected and given more instruction. But they choose to do that. It's their responsibility. God holds every man accountable for how he lives and what he does. And there will be no excuses when he stands before the Lord. In the Western world, if you don't have a teacher, a Bible teacher, if you don't know the truth, you have a Bible. When I was 16 and came to the Lord, I spent 2 hours a night or more for a year or so studying scripture. And people told me that was weird, and they tried to talk me out of it. That's why I know the Lord a little better in certain areas, and it cost us. I didn't, oh, well, you're different. No, I was ordinary. God expects people to seek him where they're at. And he said, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. And a new covenant, he says what? He says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you don't diligently seek him with your own mind and your own will, God ain't going to give you nothing more. He expects obedience. He expects you to exercise the truth you have. So people say, well, if I saw the Lord, I'll believe. That don't mean nothing to God. You'll believe temporarily. But if you don't obey the law in your conscience, you're not getting nothing else from the Lord. Remember the man in hell. Send Lazarus to go warn my five brothers not to come to this place. And Abraham said, they have the law and the prophets. They were Jews. And the man in hell said, oh, they won't listen. He was saying, if you send Lazarus from the dead, they'll believe. And Abraham said to him, he said, if they don't believe the law and the prophets, they will not believe even though one's raised from the dead. Well, as a whole, all of the Jewish leaders rejected Christ. They killed him and murdered him, and it didn't come to the Lord because they didn't obey the law and follow the law and prophets. They didn't repent, as John the Baptist said, and get ready for the Lord. Those people that listen to John the Baptist, they easily recognize Jesus when he came. Yeah. Six of Jesus' 12 apostles were from John. They were John's disciples. But the Pharisees and scribes, they couldn't see because God blinded them. You reject the lesser light, you don't get no more light. And people don't like that. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven. You've hid these things from the wise of the world and revealed it to the simple. That's why they couldn't understand. He blocked them. God delights in truth, but he doesn't waste truth. People aren't serious with him. He don't get serious with them. So we need to understand that. He's not begging everybody to come to the Lord. There's conditions. And most people will not meet the simple instructions, okay? The lake of fire, again, remind us, it's a place of torment and wrath. God has no mercy or thoughts toward his wrath, indignation. He despises their soul. That's the end result when grace shuts the door. Outer darkness, the furthest away from God you can be personally. That's what it means. He warns people. That's where they're going. They don't serve me. They don't come to God and honor him for who he is. People are not annihilated. The scripture will use the word destroy and mar, but they're not. There's the resurrection of the damned. People will live forever in heaven or hell. We were created in God's image. We're spiritual beings. So our spirit, like the fallen angels, will live on. It will not be destroyed. That's what makes us in the image of God. And the person in hell, the fallen angels, they keep sinning. There has not been no forgiveness for them. Their sins are held against them. And they probably curse God even in hell because they're totally wicked there and there's no hope for them. It's a terrible thing. Paul said, to fall into the hands of a God of wrath. We're saved. It's like he said, we are appointed not to wrath, but to eternal salvation. He talked about the Christian that follows the Lord, okay? Another point on this being first and last, Christians in their ministries in this world are often overrated or underrated by other Christians even. We're talking about a real Christian. We're not talking about most professing denomination. Most of them are not Christians. They may have been at one time, but they're not anymore. It's coming as the time of Noah and Lot. There could be very few saved. We'll have a religious system and mega churches The devil runs them. Most churches, most denominations, the minister's a child of the devil. Often he don't know it. He'll mix a little Christian teaching, but he doesn't preach and teach the true gospel, okay? They're false teachers. So he told them, God reproved some of the Corinthians because he said, you walk as men. You think like men. You have favorite teachers. That's of this world. It's not spiritual. God has no favorite. He doesn't look at a person's looks. They have nothing they can add to him. Christians need to be careful not to honor the wrong people and not to admire people because of their position in life. That's called worldliness. And John said, then the love of the Father is not in you. So he makes it very plain not to be a respecter of persons, okay? But God knows people's motives and intents, so he will judge things properly. And Paul said that the Christians, the beginners and the ones that go along, eventually, sometimes their ministries are well-intended, but God didn't call them or anoint them. It's wood, hay, and stubble. They can't produce anything spiritual because that comes from the Lord. Even Paul said, in giving out the gospel, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. He said the one who plants and waters is nothing. Without the Holy Spirit anointing and using it, that's nothing. There's no credit. You do your duty. You did what you should be doing. People think they've done something wonderful. They have that. We have to serve the Lord, okay? But God's refining fire, he refines things. And at the final judgment, we'll be judged for rewards. And if the ministry was mixed with too much flesh or worldly, wood, hay, and stubble. But that which stands the test, he considers gold and silver and precious. The fire only makes them glow. It can't damage them. It destroys the wood, hay, and stubble or straw, as that's what it do. So God's judgment will be different and perfect. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So we have to be careful. Paul said, judge nothing before the time. We can't judge other Christians' motives and intents. Once in a while, if the gift of discernment flows, God will reveal something. But he knows people's motives and intents. And many can be false like the Pharisees, put on a good show. They can do things for man's attention. The people want to be teachers and mighty, but it's for their own glory. Oh, I want to glorify God. They're liars. God sees through it. They're hypocrites. They're better to stay home and study their Bible before they ever open their mouth to other people. See? They look for attention. Let's go ahead and take a break.